And not surprisingly, a lot of the events you recount have taken place in New Orleans and Louisiana.
Some of my best moments in my life have been, you know, off St. Charles Avenue. Probably the best single moment of my life was right there on St. Charles. I had been somewhere dangerous. Not to make this sound melodramatic, but I had been working in Pakistan after 9/11. And I had come off book tour to go over to Pakistan and write about the genesis of the hatred there. You know, it wasn't fun. I'm glad I got to do it, but it was difficult. And I came home to New Orleans, and the first thing I did that evening was I went to the Columns Hotel. And I was still a drinking man then. And I got a glass of brown whiskey and took it to the balcony of the Columns and put my feet up on that old wicker furniture. And you know, you have to talk your way up to the balcony.
That's right.
You know, and I talked my way up and set that glass of brown whiskey beside me. And I just looked at the street. And, you know, the old streetcar came by clanking, and the air smelled like bourbon and candied cherries and orange slices. James Lee Burke has written that better than anybody, I think.
Oh, yeah.
But that smell, you know, you get to notice it after you read it, his work.
Mm-hmm.
The whole place smelled like that. And, you know, people were, you know, mildly, pleasantly drunk and just glad to be alive. And the streetcar was taking people to and from work, or sometimes just tourists hanging out the window. And I just remember thinking that it is really good to be alive. And that may be a cliche, but it's a good cliche.
It's a very good one. A lot of people have taken refuge there. But that's not all the stuff that's in this book. I mean, it's so great to hear about your family. You know, you've made your family our family, too. The reader feels so attached to them. And it was wonderful to hear. There are two stories about animals in this book that just sort of, you know, grabbed my heart, you know. And one is that story, Pretty Girl, about a rescue dog. I found that incredibly moving.
Well, you know, it's you know, dog stories are prone to break your heart anyway, and I can't even see a commercial, a television commercial without, you know, about dog food, without thinking about, you know, lost dogs and loved dogs. And but Pretty Girl was a miracle. She was a white German Shepherd who appeared at my mother's door not as a white German Shepherd, but as an abomination. She was so starved, and a mange had stripped her of all her hair, and she was emaciated. And, she did not look like a dog. She looked like something out of a science fiction movie. And, you know, I joke. I use the word white trash sometimes in talking about us. But, you know, we are from the foothills of the Appalachians. We are hillbillies, for lack of a better word. And we don't give up on things just because they're broken. You know, we've always been the people in our family that the other kin folks bring the refrigerator that doesn't keep anything cool.
Mm-hmm.
They bring us the television that rolls, you know, in a perpetual horizontal roll.
Oh, yeah.
They bring us the toaster that won't toast and a clock that doesn't keep time. And they do that because it's cheaper than taking it to the dump, which charges $5 a load. So they just bring us their broken things. They've always done that. Doesn't matter if you got a small handful of bestsellers or some prizes. We're still us, and they still gonna bring us their junk. And, you know, so it would only be natural that people would put their dogs out. You know, they would just take their dogs. We call it taking them off. You've heard that phrase.
Oh, yes.
And this someone had taken this poor animal off, and she had wandered, you know, lost. But she happened on that one house where people don't give up on broken things. And my mama and my brother Mark, they dumped her in burnt motor oil to cure the mange, and my mama fed her with a rag, I think, soaked in milk, squeezing it into her mouth and feeding her. And over time, you know, I've had the unhappy duty of of, you know, trying to get the vet to come and look at her, but we knew that the vet would just say to put her down. So a little time went by, and I pulled up in the driveway, and sitting there at the top of the hill was this beautiful white German Shepherd. My mother and brother had brought her back from the brink, and she lived 2 more years.
And that's what time and love will do for you. I mean, that's really an amazing thing.
That and a whole lot of cold cuts.
Yeah, that too.
My mama thinks that there's no reason why a dog should not enjoy some bologna every now and then.
I'm with her. I'm totally with her. Now, I have to ask about those miniature donkeys, too. Are those the most ridiculous things you've ever bought your mother?
They're right up there, although I have bought her many ridiculous things over time. But Bucky and Mimi are, you know, some people call them Sicilian donkeys. They're just tiny. And I don't really know what purpose they serve except to, like, look cute. But they're biters, and they're, you know, one of them damn near crippled me. So, I mean, they're biters. But she loves them. You got to understand, you know, my mama really did drag me on a cotton sack. She really did go 18 years without a new dress so that I would have a chance to talk to you,
right?
Things like this. And you know, if she wanted a gold monkey and a Ferrari, well, I'd go buckle the gold monkey into the Ferrari and try to pull it up in her driveway. And if she wanted miniature donkeys, and miniature donkeys was what she was going to get.
Well, give them their proper respect, Rick. I don't want any miniature donkey injuries when you come.
Oh, God.